chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2, verse 14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. We preach this morning on a sin that we're all guilty of. We want to address that subject again this evening. The letter of Philippians, of course, was written by Paul. He's in prison. He's writing to the church of Philippi. The letter has several purposes. He expresses his thanks for their fellowship and for their generous support of him. He also gives them an update concerning his own circumstances. And he writes to prepare them for an upcoming visit from Timothy. And of course, he also writes to exhort and to encourage them to continue in their faithful service to the Lord. The overriding theme of the letter is joyful service to the Lord, or rejoicing in the Lord's service. The word joy occurs 6 times in the letter. The word rejoice 10 times. In our text, we have an exhortation regarding service to the Lord. And that's our subject, living for and serving God without murmuring. Again, do all things without murmurings and disputings. It begins with a verb, do. That is, carry out, execute, function, work. God has given us the privilege, God has given us an opportunity of doing. Do. He says, do all. All is an adverb. Describes do. It's an inclusive word. Refers to quantity. It refers to extent. Notice it's do all things. Things, of course, is a noun, in this case describing what we are to do, the all things that we are to do. It refers back to verse 12, where he mentions obedience or obeying the Lord. It refers back to our responsibilities, our service to the Lord. It goes on, do all things without. A preposition, meaning in the absence of. Do all things in the absence of. So all of our service to God is to be done in the absence of, minus the presence of, murmurings. Do all things, talking about the service of God, without murmurings. The Greek word is gangousmos, means a muttering of displeasure, a complaint. Usually it's more private than public, the Greek word. Also, we have disputings. Diaglossismos. Didn't say that right, but it doesn't really matter. It's an inward reasoning. a questioning. It's a questioning mind. It can have reference to an arrogant mind. It can have reference to doing something in a calculated way. It says, do all things, and the context being the service of the Lord, which we'll see, minus, without the presence of, murmurings and disputings. And they're both in the plural. It's not murmuring and disputing. Could be. But he puts them in the plural, suggesting that, again, they do grow. They are of a spreading nature. So it is a matter of great importance that we do not allow murmurings, in this case disputings, that questioning mindset, calculating mindset, that we do not allow them to get a foothold in our lives. Because if they do, they will spread through the soul and they will become a stronghold. They will become a fortress in our life. So our life for and our service to God is to be without the presence of murmurings. The life that we are to live as the saved by grace is not merely the performance of the outward or the external. For example, we read in 1 Peter 4, verse 9, use hospitality one to another. It speaks of an outward act. But then he goes on to say, without grudging. The very same word used for grudging is the very same word, gangousmas, translated murmurings. Use hospitality one to another, but do so without murmurings. Now, isn't it so that we can show hospitality in theory, but if we grudge, if we murmur, if we have that attitude, why do we always have to have them over? Why don't they have us over? We've had them over 5 times. They've had us over 2x. We had steak. They had hot dogs. You show hospitality in theory. The outward act is there. But there's the murmuring. And God hears it. And God sees it. And we read, and really, the hospitality in that case is not who we are. The murmuring is who we are. So we can do things in theory without really obeying. We read in Psalm 106:25 concerning the Israelites, but murmured in their tents. How many times people of God go to church, do everything right in theory, and then go home and murmur about just about anything? It could be anything. Could be anybody. So we often do something in the Lord's service outwardly, in theory, but we murmur. Why is this my job? Why doesn't someone else do this? Why is it always me doing this? Doesn't anybody else care? You've done the right thing in theory, but the murmuring God hears it. And he's displeased. And we lose the blessing. Oh, it's hard to say how many blessings we've lost. Again, I speak to myself. We lose the enjoyment. I mean, once we begin to murmur, we may have had good intentions of doing such and such at the church building. But then as we begin to do it, it's harder than we thought, and we begin to murmur and complain because no one else is here. Why does it always fall on me? Well, you've just lost all the blessings. And you've lost the enjoyment of it. We are to be obedient, but we're to do so without the presence of murmuring. Because murmuring is accounted as rebellion against God. Numbers 16:41, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. This is referred to in Numbers 17 and verse 10, the Lord called them rebels. He's talking about those who murmured. He said they're rebels. They're insurgents. They're dissenters. They're But we live in the most indulged society in history, and the most discontented society that's ever been. A society of chronic complainers. It's the custom to complain. But we that are saved, we are to live for the Lord. We are to serve the one who saved us. We're to do so without murmuring. How shameful to serve the one who saved us and we murmur. Well, I murmur all the time about a lot of things. It's sin. It's not right. It's an act of rebellion against God. Our life upon this earth involves innumerable imposed providences. Many of them we do not choose. They are imposed providences. Many of them are what we consider to be inconvenient. But they are part of our service to the Lord. Many happenings. Many circumstances. We interact with a variety of people. All of this in the service of the Lord. And we are to live for and serve the Lord through them all without murmurings. Just try doing that. It's not something that we can just do. This takes the work of God in our lives. Serve the Lord without murmuring. What a privilege to serve God. And we murmur. Preachers are some of the worst. They murmur. They complain. The privileges that we have. And we murmur. Oh God, forgive us. To murmur, again we see in the text this morning is against God. So really what it is it's taking an exception with God. That's serious business. It's taking exception with His sovereignty, with His providence, with His provision. On and on we could go. When Paul says, do all things without murmurings, is he not really saying, align your will with God's will? If my will is aligned with God's will, I'm not going to murmur. That's basically what that is saying. Let's think about it. If we're not aligned with God's will, we're not right with God. Consider this living for and serving the Lord. Consider the blessing of it. In chapter 1, verse 6, Paul speaks of salvation, which is the foundation of our service to God. He speaks of it as a good work in you. As you read that verse, you see it's a work begun by God, continued by God, and ultimately finished by God. But it is a work that God does in us. This is the foundation of a life lived for Him. Without this, you cannot live for God. So the very foundation of the life, a merciful, gracious, miraculous act of God in us, just the thought of that, how can we murmur? Why would we murmur? Because of that gracious, merciful, and miraculous work, I have a wonderful opportunity. Not only saved, but I have an opportunity, I have a privilege to live a very special life that those apart from this work cannot live. So we have before us a very special life. And it is a life that consists of doing. All life consists of doing. And Paul says, do all things in this life, this special life that we have, without murmuring. In chapter 1 and verse 27, he calls upon them to live gospel-appropriate lives. What a privilege. What a blessing. And such is possible because of Philippians 1:6. Because of the gracious, merciful, miraculous, saving work within us. And we're to do this without murmurings. Without murmurings. In chapter 2, he calls upon them to imitate Christ. He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He then proceeds to speak of the person and the greatness of Christ, and he does so through verse 11. And then he begins verse 12 with, wherefore? An application word. It is a word that indicates the reason has already been stated. The reason has already been given for the exhortation that follows. Wherefore? You don't need the reason has been given. You don't have to ask why. The reason's been given. Just back up. Wherefore? For this reason, referring to the person and the greatness of Christ. For this reason, Jesus Christ, There's a reason. Jesus Christ. He then went on to say in verse 12 that they had been an obedient people in time past when He was present with them. And then He exhorts them, but now much more in my absence. And He makes reference to that inward, gracious, merciful, miraculous, saving work. He says, work out your own salvation. That's the salvation that was worked in us in Philippians 1 verse 6. It's what service to God is all about. It's what living for God is all about. It's working out what God has already worked in. And we're to do so without murmuring. It says we're to do so with fear and trembling. So salvation is an inward work that manifests itself outwardly. This is part of the all things of our text. And the way the all things manifest itself is obedience to God. Obey God, but do so without murmuring. Do what God says, but do so without murmuring, is what Paul is saying. Do that which pleases Him, but do so without murmuring. He says in verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. The all things refers to the doing of His good pleasure. Doing the things that please God. But do so without murmuring. Without complaining. Again, a preacher can preach, and it may appear that no one's listening. So the preacher begins to murmur. What's the use? That's rebellion. That's taking exception with God. We're to just do. And to do so without murmuring. Do all things. So we read in verse 13 that we're to do His good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings. So how important is this? Here we are trying to serve God. How important is it that we do so without murmuring? It's very important. Has great impact. Notice verse 15. Again, read verse 14. Do all things without murmuring and disputings. Verse 15. That word, that, reveals that verse 14, do all things without murmurings and disputings, is a purpose clause. Do all things without murmurings. It has a purpose. That is one of those words we read over, but very important. That. In other words, what is said in verse 14, do all things without murmurings and disputing, is something that is necessary to achieve a purpose. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye, personal, may. That expresses a possibility. that ye may be. Do all things without murmurings, for the purpose that you be something. And what follows is our purpose and function in life as a child of God. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be. So what is being said here is this murmuring and disputing spirit is an inhibitor to what we should be. It is an impediment. It is an interference. It is an obstruction to what we should be. It is restrictive to what we should be. It has a preventive power to being what God has called us to be. That makes it very serious. Do all things without murmuring, that ye may be. In other words, if I murmur, I can't be this. This doing all things without murmuring is necessary to being what he's going to tell us to be. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be, notice, blameless. Blameless. That means that we give no occasion, especially to the unsaved, to make accusation. People are going to make all kinds of accusations. The lost world is going to make all kinds of accusations against us. To be blameless means that we don't give them reason to do so. That is, their accusations are false. But if we murmur, we've given them reason. We've given them reason. I've seen it happen through the years. People gripe to their lost friends about every church member, and then in their foolishness says, why don't you come to church with me Sunday? That person needs to turn to them and say, what do you think I am, an idiot? You just told me how horrible a place it is. Why should I come? You see, the murmuring has not rendered you blameless. He goes on. So what this is saying is to murmur is a bad testimony. It's a bad testimony. When we murmur, we complain. We tell someone to trust God. And then we spend our time murmuring to them. That's a bad testimony. We tell them how wonderful God is, how good God is. And then we murmur. That's a bad testimony. He goes on, he says, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless. That you may be harmless. That means that you do not bring injury to others. So that tells us something about murmuring. It tells us that murmuring is harmful to other people. It's toxic. It really is. It's like a poison. Because it gets in their minds. Round and round their minds begin to go. There's a lot of toxic people out there. And I suppose we all are at times. God help us not to be. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God. That is, do not murmur, because such manifests that we are the children of God. That we are revealing the traits of the Father. It means that when we murmur, we act like the world. We're not acting like a child of God. We're not displaying the traits of our Heavenly Father. We're acting like the world. He goes on to tell us about the world. It's crooked. Doesn't have any principles. It's corrupt. It's criminal. And when we murmur in the service of God, we're acting like the world. He goes on to say the world's perverse. It's depraved, it's immoral, it's wicked, it's evil. And when we murmur, we act like the world. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke. That is, you do not give them occasion to rebuke. Again, it's a bad testimony. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may shine as lights in the world, that you may show forth the radical difference and distinction that God has made in our lives. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may hold forth the word of life. That we be able to be a witness to others, that we might be beacons shining clearly in the darkness. But if we murmur, we're not able to be these things. Do all things without murmurings, that ye may be. So it shows us the importance. The fact that our text, verse 14, is a purpose clause. The word "that" reveals that. The fact that it is a purpose clause reveals the importance of not murmuring. It reveals the importance. It reveals the impact of not murmuring. And also the seriousness of the failure to obey. To obey. What does it say to my neighbors if I talk to them about the Lord? And I do. And then I just start griping about everything. Well, it kind of undoes everything I've said. It's got to raise questions in their minds. Murmuring is very serious. Even though I'm so very guilty. And usually about stupid stuff. It's a sin. It's a sin with great power. So how do we achieve this? Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Now, I really believe that we will be radically changed in heaven. Because if we weren't, we'd complain. I'm serious. We'd find something in heaven to gripe about. But we'll be radically changed. But how do we achieve this? I don't believe we completely achieve it in this life, of course, but how do we at least advance in these directions? Shouldn't be going back. You know what? People say, well, they're old. That's just the way old people are. No, that's a bunch of baloney. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. The way to do that is revealed in the opening verses of chapter 2. In verse 3, he mentions vainglory as something that is not to characterize the child of God. Vainglory is pride and self, pride in achievements, pride in things. Vainglory, emptiness, living for emptiness. He then directs us to what should characterize our lives: lowliness, humility of mind, murmuring has a lot of pride in it. It's filled with it. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. In order to achieve that, do not seek, do not take pride in emptiness, in the trivial, but to be of humble mind. Most of the things that people murmur and complain about really don't matter. Reveals a lot of self, reveals a lot of emptiness, reveals the trivial and pride. Paul then gives an exhortation in verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." And then in verse 6, he reveals the mind of Christ that we are to imitate, who being in the form of God, that is, equal with God, he thought, that is, he counted and he considered it not robbery to be equal with God. Think of the word robbery. It conveys the idea of taking hold of something. It's an act of selfishness. So what he's telling us is Christ was not selfish. He did not view his equality with God as something that should be seized and kept, something selfishly held unto. He had all rights. Had all the rights of God, had all the privileges of God, and he deserves every one of them. But he did not have an attitude that selfishly clutched to those rights. This is the mind that we're to have. He did not hold on to what he deserved. He didn't hold on to it. But he is willing to start a process downward. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. A willingness to start a process downward would cure a lot of murmuring. This mind of Christ is necessary to do all things without murmurings and disputings. This became an action. In verse 7, he made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. He emptied himself. That'll cure a lot of murmuring. He was willing to let go of his privileges, his rights, his merits. He was willing to let go. In verse 8, he became obedient unto death. So you see, this mind of Christ is the remedy to murmuring. It'll fix it. Nothing else will. You can say to yourself all you want to, I'm going to stop murmuring starting right now. Let's see how long it lasts. Not long. Not long. So we need to pray is that God would give us the mind of Christ. Another necessity to our text, do all things without murmurings and disputings, is what Paul learned in Philippians 4, verse 11. He said, "I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. You're not born with that. It's something you have to learn. It's something that only God can teach. And it involves many, 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 many lessons in order to learn to be content. So it's not our place, it's not our position, it's not our circumstance that prevents murmuring. What prevents murmuring is a heart of contentment. And Paul learned that lesson, which is an inward submission. It's the quiet of the heart regarding God, regarding the Lord's dealing, regarding the Lord's will for our lives. It's a sense of security. It's a sense of assurance that all is well. I have nothing to murmur about when you know all is well. It's a stillness before God. It's an inward calm. There's no inward calm going on when we murmur, when we complain. Do it all the time. God, forgive me for all the murmuring. You think of all the murmuring that I have done in my lifetime. Some of it I don't even know about. How sad. This contentment is a state of harmony with God. If you're in harmony with God, what do you got to complain about? It's a state of spiritual fulfillment and refreshment. And Paul says, I have learned contentment. I have learned it. All that God would teach us, that lesson. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. He's talking about the service of God. How shameful it is. God gives us the privilege to serve, and we complain about it. And God hears it, and God is displeased. I've given you, I've allowed you, and that's what it is. Anything you and I do in God's service, He allowed us to do it. He enabled us to do it. And then to turn around and complain. Well, I have a right to complain. No, we really don't. We really don't. Not in the service of the Lord. How often we're guilty. That's why there's a lot of people who are supposedly serving. They're some of the most miserable people you'd ever want to meet. Well, if they're serving, they're certainly not doing it right. Because if you're doing it right, it's a joy. And again, the theme of Philippians is joyful service to the Lord. Most of us, by simple math, have lived most of our lives. We don't have as much left as we've already lived. All that God would help us to spend the rest of our life serving God, praising Him, not murmuring. And again, I had a very difficult time putting these two messages together, and the reason is I had to repent every 10 seconds. It's serious. It's a serious thing to murmur. It's discouraging to murmur. I do most of my murmuring to my wife. It's discouraging to whoever you murmur to. I do a lot of it to myself. But it's all to God. He hears it all. God heard their murmurings, and He was displeased. God help us. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us.